This is the Novel Marketing Podcast.
I'm James L. Rubart.
I'm Thomas Umstadt Jr.
And this is the show for novelists who want to become best-selling authors.
Today is our 60th episode.
60!
Woohoo! And we have an exciting announcement, actually, that we're going to share. But first, it's time. We do this every 10 episodes. It's time for the Q&A extravaganza.
That's right. 60th episode. We have 60 questions we're going through today. So we should, gosh, let's dive in.
60 questions. Maybe that's a lot of questions.
Should we limit it? All right, we'll limit it.
We have the best of the questions that we've received over the last 10 episodes. And let's go ahead and get started.
All right. So our first question comes from Jen. She says, I really enjoy this podcast, but I'm curious as to how aspiring writers are supposed to use Facebook and Twitter differently.
All right. So if you're wondering if aspiring authors should use Facebook and Twitter differently, the answer is yes. Yes, you should. More specifically, you should not use them.
So, not use them at all. Okay, explain that, Thomas.
If you're a novelist, now this, I know we have a lot of nonfiction authors, so y'all just kind of hold on for a second. Because for novelists, Facebook and Twitter are a distraction if you're unpublished. They are not helping you at all. Okay, you need to hear this because it really makes you feel like you are writing when you're on Facebook and Twitter, but in reality, it's not helping you at all. In fact, it's distracting you a little bit and hurting your marketing. A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, and an author can sell books to anyone except for his own friends. Once they're your friend, they expect a free copy of your book. And so you don't want to be building a lot of friends. You want to be building fans, and there's no way to have a fan as a novelist until you have a book. Now, if you're nonfiction, it's totally different. Facebook and Twitter can help you. But if you are an aspiring novelist, don't use Facebook and Twitter. Write your book instead.
Yeah, no, and we say this a lot, but really the best marketing tool you can ever, ever, ever have is word of mouth. In other words, somebody reads your book, loves your book, tells somebody else about your book. Therefore, the time you spend on craft while you're still aspiring is absolutely crucial. It's essential. And if you want to discover, there's a program called Rescue Time where it can track how you have spent your time when you're on your computer. You might download that. It's free. I use it. And it might tell you, oh my gosh, 60% of my time is going toward social media. 30% of my time is actually going toward writing my book. It's a good wake-up call, but seriously, spend your time on the craft first.
Now, okay, you nonfiction writers, you can come back in the room now. It's different for you. So I'm working on a nonfiction book, and as I'm doing research and making discoveries, I'm posting little quotes, and I'm posting pull blog posts of chapters, and one of the most frequent pieces of feedback I'm getting is, I can't wait for your book to come out, or now I understand your book, because I'm able to tease, since it's nonfiction, the little pieces make people hungry for the whole. So if you're doing nonfiction, it is okay to use Facebook and Twitter. There are some benefits, but still, what Jim said about having a good book still applies. All right. Next question is from J.T. Stoll, author of The Rift, and he asks, I'm an indie fantasy author trying to figure out how much time to dedicate to putting together blurbs for my book. Seeing a bunch of authors I've never heard of rave about a book doesn't make me want to buy it. Do readers care about these kinds of blurbs? Do they drive sales?
That's a great question, and I have to answer it with a physics principle. Objects in motion tend to stay in motion. In other words, if you're in space, for example, and there is no resistance, an object will continue to sail away in its direction forever until it's pushed in a different direction. Yes, this does apply to publishing. Author endorsements used to be a really, really big deal. And so publishers still ask for them, authors still get them, and you see them all over books. Most of you listening to this podcast are educated to the point where you will say, I know that it's a friend, and so the endorsement was given probably because of that. And consequently, for you, endorsements probably don't carry a lot of weight. Well, actually, for readers, it's the same thing. Can an endorsement help from a big-name author? Yes, absolutely, they can help. But it's not the thing that's going to drive the sales. The thing that's going to drive the sales is, like we said earlier, a great book.
Now, I have a little bit of a different perspective on this. So I agree with Jim as far as an author you haven't heard of. But there's a lot of power. If there's an author that I like and respect, and I see that author's blurb on a book, there's a high likelihood I will buy that book. I went through a period of my life where for about 3 years, if a book had a blurb from Seth Godin, I bought the book on nothing other than that. And because I was such a fan of Seth Godin, I couldn't get enough Seth Godin books. In between waiting for his books to come out, I bought all the books that he blurbed. So if you can get New York Times bestselling authors to blurb your book, that's very valuable. But your author friend that you met at that conference, who's a mid-list author, who writes a different kind of book and has a different kind of author, readership, not going to do you much good.
Yeah, and I do agree with Thomas on that. If you know the author and respect the author, that could turn you toward buying that book. As JT says himself, he says, seen a bunch of authors I've never heard of. Yep, I get that. But if JT, if it's an author that you absolutely love and they're endorsing it, you might give that book serious consideration because of that endorsement.
Right. Who blurbed Lord of the Rings? C.S. Lewis, author of Chronicles of Narnia. All right. Next question is from Kristen Stifel, author of Alara's Call. And she asks, while my book is in production at my publisher, I'm looking into recording an audiobook version, and I'd like to record it myself. Which, warning, recording novels yourself is very hard. I only know one other person who's successfully done that, and his name's James L. Rubart. It's because he's got a background in radio. Nonfiction authors, it's a lot easier to do your book yourself. For novels, people expect a certain amount of drama and acting ability, and most authors don't have an acting background to be able to pull that off. So just a warning, I don't know what your background is. You may be able to do it, but most are not. Okay, so she asks, I'm trying to decide if I should go straight to Audible or podcast my book. If I podcast first, can I still distribute the compilation through Audible? The answer to that is actually no. If you're going through ACX, they will make you take down the podcast if you want to go through them. You can't have it anywhere else for free. What are the pros and cons of podcasting the book?
Okay, well, I had this answer, Thomas, but it was essentially what you said earlier, so I have nothing to say. No, but I do want to take just a few more seconds and talk about that. Thomas is absolutely right. Because you like performing doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be able to do an audiobook. I've done 6 books so far, and they are hard to do. They really are hard to do. Like Thomas said, I have a background in radio. I took drama classes in college, and so I have a little bit of understanding. And seriously, it's not an undertaking you want to do unless you're very, very comfortable doing it. There are so many other opportunities out there, like ACX, or even hiring somebody that you know on your own to perform. I would explore that direction first. Thomas, go ahead.
If you're onto the podcasting part, if you do want a podcast, I would encourage you to go to podiobooks.com. It's a whole website devoted to people who podcast their book episode by episode. It will help you find readers and has some tips for how to record it. One option is you do a podiobook yourself and the podcast is free, and then you have a professional narrator do it on Audible where people are expecting to pay and get the higher quality.
Our next question comes from Jennifer Pappas. I think I said that right. She says, I blog about books and book reviews. My question is, as an aspiring writer, is it not smart to post bad reviews? I know I'm thinking far ahead, but what happens when I meet somebody in the publishing game who likes my work? They see that I've written a book about a review about their book. It's a 1-star review, rubs them in the wrong way, et cetera, et cetera. Am I sabotaging my future by being honest?
Even bad reviews help people. I am the poster child of this. I rank on one of the top results on Google for the word courtship because of bad reviews, people writing blog posts about how much they disagree with me. And so if they're mature as a writer, they should be able to recognize that all publicity is good publicity for someone who's still trying to make a name for themselves. Mark Twain wrote a 20-page essay about the literary offenses of James Fenimore Cooper, the author of the book Last of the Mohicans. And it's an excellent book on if you want to learn how to write better, or excellent essay. But it was biting in its criticism. He just really ridiculed this guy. And he was very successful as an author. So it didn't sabotage his future. But yeah, Jim, you may have some different thoughts. You may disagree.
Yeah, never do it. never ever be honest. No, here's the reality. You have to be honest. And if you are expressing a thoughtful review, as Thomas says, the mature writer will go, wow, maybe I have something to learn from this. With my first book, I sent an endorsement request, speaking of endorsements, to an author I really respected. And he wrote back and just was real honest and said, this book just did not work for me. I can't endorse it. But he was so thoughtful in his response that for my second book, I sent him my second book and he loved it and did endorse it. So I guess my point is, if you have honest discourse going back and forth with people and it's done respectfully, those people can actually turn into allies for you.
And there's a way of criticizing someone's book without criticizing that person. And there's a way to criticize their book in a way that is kind. And so... Right. We're not at, just because you're honest is no excuse to be unkind.
Correct. Next question comes from Kara Grandel. You can find out more about Kara at karagrandel.com. Her question is, I'm not published yet, but I want to write a blog post here and there on books that I love that someone else wrote. Not book reviews necessarily, but just like you were talking about the book to somebody at a coffee shop, etc. She wants to know, can I use my book table on my blog showcasing other authors' work and then add my own when the day comes that I'm published?
Yes, you can.
Okay, moving on to the next one.
No, seriously, you can do that, and you can even make money while you're doing it, because the affiliate program works whether it's your book that you're selling or somebody else's book that you're selling. So we very much built the plugin with that thought in mind of people using it to review other books.
Okay, our next question, Thomas, comes from Darren Sapp. His book is called Fire on the Flight Deck. So he's got this book out and he's wondering, great question, where should I sell my books online with self-publishing? Because there are a lot of options these days. He assumes most of his sales will be on Amazon, both print and ebook. But what about Nook, iBooks, Kobo? Are there others he should be thinking about, such as Smashwords or the other opportunities?
Okay, so as somebody who gets to look at sales numbers, not just for the publishing company I work with, but also sales numbers through my book table, I've come to realize that at least if you're in America and you're selling to Americans, there are three stores that account for 99% of the sales for independent authors. And those stores in order of importance are Amazon. It's about 60 to 70% of your sales
really?
Are going to be through Amazon. Believe it or not, there's this website, Amazon.com. It's kind of popular. But here's what's a surpriser. You know what the number two site is?
No.
It's Apple, iTunes.
It is. It's
yes.
Not.
Barnes & Noble is plummeting. They are just, their platform is just dying in terms of the ebooks. So Apple is now replacing them in terms of ebook sales for a lot of authors. And
wow.
And part of it's because they're embracing permafree. Part of it's because they have a bigger user base. Part of it's because they have a bigger device base. So not a lot of people have Nooks, but a ton of people have iPhones and iPads. And so they're preferring to buy through that interface. So the question is, what about the smaller players? So if 99% of your sales are through the big three, let's say 95% of your sales are through the big three, adding to these others have a maximum boost of 5% to your book sales, which is only worth it if you're already moving a lot of sales through those big three. Kobo is almost negligible in the United States. Now, these numbers all start shifting around when you start talking about other countries. So Kobo is still very popular in the UK. So for those of you, we know we have a lot of listeners around the world. It will be different for you. For most of you, Amazon's still the number one player, but your number two player and number three player may be completely different. And I won't be able to tell you what those are, but I will say that having been able to look at my book table stats is very interesting, because there's these stores we've never heard of before that folks are using my book table to promote in Spain and France and places like that.
Very good. Okay, Thomas, I think we're out of time, but we do have to talk about this fun announcement, some fun news. Yes, it's true. My book, Table 2.0, is out.
Dun, dun, dun.
Thomas has made it better than it was before. Better,
oh, I'm so
faster,
excited about
stronger.
My book, Table. That's right.
And if you get that pop culture reference, you're as old as I am.
Yes, so My Book Table 2 is out. I'm super excited about this. We've added a bunch of really cool features. The one I'm the most excited about is this tool called the Amazon Bulk Book Importer. So before, if you wanted to add 100 books to My Book Table, you had them all, add them all one at a time. Now, All you have to do is paste in their ISBN numbers and click import, and it creates the page. It creates the gets all of the copy and the price and even the image. It pulls it over from Amazon. We integrated with Amazon, so it just drops all of the information in, and it works whether you have one book or 100. It's really cool. We also have a grid view. We added a notify me button and a really cool shadow box. So now instead of a whole bunch of buttons on your page, there's just one buy now button that pops up, and it's got a shadow box with all the different buttons and a find your local bookstore. So now somebody wants to buy your book at their local bookstore, it can get the phone number. My Book Table will give them the phone number of their closest bookstore.
Oh, wow.
For them to then call to see if your book is in stock. And if it's not in stock, you now you have all these readers all over the internet calling their local bookstores asking for your book to be in stock. It's like, it's magical. It's so cool. So
oh,
anyway,
sweet.
My Book Table 2.0. You can
now
get
stats, didn't you talk about there's some different stat thing that you can access
right
now that
so fits? You can turn on when you get 2.0, you can enable user statistics, which help us make My Book Table easier to use and more effective, but it's also giving us some useful anonymous data to know kind of what's selling and what platforms are popular. So if you want to help the Novel Marketing Podcast become more interesting and be more informed with statistics, make sure to turn that on. We don't track it to individuals, but it is really useful for us.
So, Thomas, it would be, I think you should give our listeners like a discount or something.
Okay.
Can you do that?
Sure. Novel Marketing, all one word, will give you 10% off coupon code. So
sweet.
And there's also still the free version. So you can find out more at mybooktable.com.
And remember, if you share this podcast with a friend, if you tell a friend about this podcast, Thomas promises to name his next dog after you, assuming he gets one. And seriously, if you would tell somebody else about the podcast and give us a kind review on iTunes, we would love it.
And thank you so much to all of you who've already left a review. It's really helped us out a lot. This has been the Novel Marketing Podcast, giving you novel ideas on how to promote yourself and your writing offline, online, and everywhere in between.